Father, we thank you again this morning for every song. Thank the Lord God taught in these premises during the Sunday school hour, and now we come again. Open this precious book, the Word of God. We wouldn't know a thing about you. We're not for it. Thank you for not only inspiring it to be written, but Lord preserved it for our day. And we open it, Holy Spirit, we yield to thee and ask that you would do what you need to do in our hearts. As I've tried this last week and finishing it up on this message that I've been working on for months now. And Lord, I pray the next couple of weeks would be more, not more than just one service. It'll be the next couple of weeks as we look at this subject that somehow or another we'd be blessed, just our lives, and try our best to understand some things that happens in this life sometimes don't honor God. And we want to honor him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read some portions of scripture that's going to define what the message is going to be. I don't know if you have ever done this or not. I had never in my 56 years of serving God. I have taught from all of these aspects. I preached from these aspects at times. I brought this subject in at times, but I've never did a depth study like I have in the last few weeks on this character. And I want to give it a title to start with, and then we'll read the verses in just a moment. If there's ever been a person who was a pretender and a hypocrite, it was Judas Iscariot. And I'm amazed at his life. You know, he's mentioned many times by name, and in circumstances, we see him active a little bit. But I'm amazed exactly what happened to him after he was walking with Christ for 3.5 years. You think, at least 3 years, you think a person who'd been with Jesus Christ that long would not have been doing what he did. Then there's some people come along and say, well, that's what the difference is that. He was ordained to do that. Well, let's face it. When you get through, you're going to find out what the only reason that God used him like he was because he was who he was. And he needed him to accomplish the blessed redemption plan he was going to do to reject Jesus Christ. But by the way, when you finish, you're going to find out that Judas did that of his own will. And God capitalized on it. That's what I'm saying to this. Some people say, well, I don't believe in God at all. I'll never believe in God. That'd be all right. That's where you want to be. God will let you do that. But I'll tell you this. You'll end up wishing you had. And if God needs to use you to help someone else get to heaven, he'll do it. He'll do it. I'm going to tell you, if it hadn't been Judas Iscariot and in plan where he was at, then we might not have been saved. Because you had to have one to reject him. You had to have one in place. And all God did, look down through the years, and I'm saying some things up front, but I want you to stay with me now in the study of this because it will bless your heart, and you're going to see Judas Iscariot. By the way, Jesus said it'd been better he'd never been born. So you know he's going to hell. You say, well, now, wait, preacher, don't judge. No. Jesus already told it, and I'm giving you some things scattered through here, but I want you to let's look at his character, and there's five words that I have studied out and made short to look at his life that would tell us about what he was and who he did. I call them Judas's five peas in a pot. Now, he was a great pretender. Have any of you ever pretended? I guarantee you have. There's not a young girl in here that hadn't pretend when they were young years ago to have a tea party. There's not a mother and dad in here. If you ever had anything to do with your kids, had also pretend to go to that tea party. And what you was an adult person sitting at a little table, a little teeny cup you couldn't even put in your fingers, let alone your hand. And there was saying, sipping that tea. And you were telling that little child, oh, that is so good. And she'd say, have some more. You were pretending, right? Everyone in here has done that. We have pretended in a lot of different ways in life. I don't know if you have, I never had one of these. Though I played as a child different people, but had a friend, invisible friend. And they had them. And they get along by themselves with that invisible friend, and they just have a great time with them. In fact, they'd have better time with that invisible friend than friends they could see. Well, that visible friend never talked back. I remember when I was a boy and I pretended. I don't know about you, when I came along, you had to make a lot of your toys. I had a brand new bicycle one time, but most of it, you had to make it, you learned to make things. By the way, young folks, we didn't have cell phones and phones this, phones that, and texts this and texts that. You know, I'm not against that. I'm glad you can. I'm too old to use it, but I'm glad you can. But what I'm saying today, I remember one time I pretended. Now, in my day, I worked on a farm. When I was about 4 or 5 year old, of course, my dad, we lived in town, but later we moved to the farm. When I was about maybe 5, 6, 7 year old, we used to go to see the cowboy movies. I mean, I could get in for 8 cents. Wish we had them days. Well, I don't go to movies now at all, but what I'm saying, 8 cents, I'd go see a cowboy show, and boy, when I get through, that just thrilled me, and I get home. I didn't have a horse to ride, but I lived on the farm, and I'd go find me a real nice straight tobacco stick. Has anyone ever done that? Yep. You're not old enough to do it, I reckon. You don't remember those days. A straight tobacco stick. And I wanted a Palomino horse, so I'd get a tobacco stick that was as near yellow and brown as I could, that looked, get me a piece of ribbon put on that thing, get my little Red Rider gun on the side, and cowboy hat, and my badge, and man, I was a Western. I was a cowboy. And I'd ride that thing all over the yard, pretending. I don't think sometimes that type of pretending hurts anybody. But I tell you, what Judas did hurt him. I pretended, and I got thinking one day as I was going across the yard, I couldn't hear my feet hit the ground. And I'd seen the hill horses. I didn't realize then, though, they had a room somewhere, and over there, but they were copying those things. You couldn't hear the horse running in the movies. They had a room where they made those sounds. And I think to myself, how can I make a sound? And I got to thinking, a bright idea. I can't imagine anybody thinking this, but I got to thinking that, you know, if I had 2 empty oil cans, where you pull in a car. And so I went to the store one day and I asked how to end the cord. He said, yes. So I took them things home with me and I took my foot and pumped right in the middle of one of them and right in the middle of the other one. Then I took a rock, or if I found a hammer a couple of times, I'd nail those things to next to my, I'd bend them up over the sole. They'd hang on there, boy. And boy, you could hear me coming around the house, clonk, 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 clonk. I was tickled pretending. Then didn't realize you do that long, your soles came off because they pulled them off. So I had a problem with that. But what I'm trying to get you to see, sometimes it's good to pretend. But here's a man who's pretending to hypocrisy. And I want to tell you, it don't look good. But yet, I'm so glad that God capitalized on it, that you and I could be saved. And I just read what happens. And I'm going to read these verses and take my time, and I want to get out by 1 o'clock each Sunday, so I hope that'll be all right. But I don't want you to miss this. Believe me, I have spent some time on this, and it helps me understand more about Judas Iscariot. And I don't understand why he didn't stop before he finished what he did. You see, he went so far that the last night of the Passover, when Jesus handed him that sop, Satan entered in him. Satan entered into him. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus said, go do what you got to do. He went so far, and before that time, I really believe, and I'll say up front, before that time, I really believe if he had changed his mind about Christ, after all that he saw and trusted him like the other 11 disciples said, that he'd have got saved as much as they would. There's no way in the world Judas is going to go to hell and end up there and say he didn't have a chance. Folks, he had 3.5 years chance. And look at all he saw. And yet he didn't do a thing for him. Now, there's reasons for that, and that's how Satan clouds our mind. We can justify a lot of things in this life that's against what God wants us to do. Or some things he'd like for us to do, but we can justify a lot of things, but it never makes it right. Now, no doubt Judas had some justifiable things. His idea to start with was not necessarily that he was going to be the one who reject Christ. Because I don't think he had any idea he was going to do that. But his heart was not right, and the more he saw, he didn't see his agenda, he didn't see what was happening, he thought he could make it happen, and ended up. And here's the thing, you're going to be surprised, because Judas had as much power as the apostles did in those 3.5 years. And he wasn't even saved. That's the reason the apostles had trouble, even they didn't see him. See, God's son, Jesus, saw his heart. They saw his deed. And we were talking about Brother Brian this morning, talking about how you can say one thing and be something else. Well, this is who Jesus was. Now watch what it says. Look, we in verse chapter 10. We'll read down about 10 verses. He said, and when he had called unto his 12 disciples, notice 12, and that included Judas. Amen? Come on, help me out now. Now, we're talking about Judah. I want you to see that everything that God told these 12, Judas included into that. And though at the end of this thing, we see what happened. So he said, and when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power. Who? He gave them the entire 12. Amen? Amen? See, don't read over it. Read through it. Read and let God give us an understanding. This was not something that he held back just because Judas who he was. Judas had everything and saw things, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have never seen. Notice what he said. And he said, he gave him power against unclean spirits, what? To cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now, Judas was included to that, and Jesus gave all 12 this power. Now, the names of the 12, and he tells his apostles, the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Libius, and whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and watch, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And every time he's mentioned with the apostles, except one, he's always mentioned last. Then he said, these 12 sent forth, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach and saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The message that Judas preached with those apostles, disciples, during that three and a half year period, was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? Because the king is here, though he's king of kings, now he's Messiah, he's Savior, and one day he'll fulfill his place of king, because you're going to find Jesus Christ is not only prophet, not only is he Savior and Messiah, but we've seen on Wednesday night, he is prophet, priest, and king. And not only is he king, but he's king of kings. Did you know that Satan can be no more than the prince and power of air? Did you know that a prince is less than a king? Yeah. Did you know that Jesus Christ, though being a king, is beyond other kings? Because the Bible says he's king of kings. Amen. So we know who we're worshiping now. Now watch. He goes on and he says, and the 12 sent forth, go into the way. Then in verse 7 he said, go and preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Watch this. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils freely. Ye have received, freely give. Now provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Now here he's called these men, he sent them out, he's given them power that he has, and by the way, they literally did that. How they got noticed among people is they could do powers, get their attention, and then preach this message they had to do with the kingdom of heaven. You see, the Holy Spirit was not here in that time to do what it's doing today. They didn't have the Word of God as we have complete today. They had the Old Testament, and that was most times in the synagogues or in the temple, and had dealt with the priest and some prophets along the line. So what we have here is that when Jesus taught, they had first-hand information. By the way, Jesus Christ taught them just as sure the facts as the Holy Spirit does now in the age of grace. I mean, he was the Word. And the written Word tells us about him. Now, I want you to look with me in Mark. So here we see their call in these few verses. Look over in Mark chapter 14 with me. In Mark chapter 14, look with me about 10, verse 10 and 11. Here again, we see that in Mark chapter 14, down about verse 10 and 11. Now, here we see again the anointing of Mary in Bethany. And as we get down to verse 10, he said, and Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went into the chief priest to betray him unto them. Now, this is 2 to 3 years later than what we see in Matthew chapter 10. Now, he has come to the place, he's made the decision in himself. What he thought was going to happen, Jesus is not going to do it. I mean, when Jesus had the power to do what he could do, he could have took over the world that time. But Jesus said, "This my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is a different world in this world." And Judas missed that. And therefore, now he's come to the place where he's not going to do what I thought. I'm wasting my time. And no doubt had reasons to believe that, because he really thought that when Christ came, he's going to set the kingdom up. Boy, he's going to have a position. By the way, the other disciples believed that too to some degree until they saw otherwise. But they didn't walk away like he did this time. And said, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad. Now, they've been trying to trick Jesus. They've been trying to misrepresent him. They tried to use scripture. They tried Satan in every way he could inspire people to do at that time. They had no means to get to him, and sometimes they think they'd get him and he'd slip away. But now here comes one of the circle that's with him. Don't you know they knew Judas was with him? Here's one of the inside, not the inner side, because Peter, James, and John's with that of the 12, but here's one of the 12 now, so for some reason it's going our way. And they were tickled to death, John's kind of language. I mean, they just happy as could be. And notice he said, and they promised to give him money, and he sought how he might conveniently betray him. So automatically we're seeing that Judas was looking, I've got to get something out of this now. I got to do it. And way he's going, may I read between the lines? Way he's going, if I don't get what I can get, he's going to be off the scene for long. I'm not going to be able to get, I waste my life in the last few years. And so he schemes up, goes through, not even knowing he's fulfilling prophecy. He don't know one thing about the prophecy, what he's doing. He goes, schemes up to get money. He's greedy. And the reason for that, the Bible tells us later, if you look with me in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, we've got a few to get us on the launching board, and then we go from there. In John chapter 12, if you look now, he's down in Mary Martha's house for a meal. And it's a Passover. Verse 1 says, and 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, to where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Now, that must have been a sight, hadn't it? Can you imagine sitting there? Just a few days before that, he was dead, buried, left, like he was going to be there until the rapture took place. And now, these few days later, he's sitting at the table. Wouldn't you like to have been there and asked him some questions? I mean, there's a lot of things, I'm sure. We don't know. He never said anything what happened, what he was there, and the fact that he did die. By the way, someone said, well, he didn't die. Oh, yes, he did. He died. And within 4 days, I'm going to tell you, your body may not disintegrate, but you got a sin around. You couldn't stand it, I tell you. Notice he said, they made him supper, and Martha and Lazarus was one there, sat at the table. And then Mary, of course, had to own it for sake of time, spiked her and put it on his feet and so forth. And then one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, now he tells us who his dad is, which should betray him. Why was not this ornament sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now, think with me, the apostles kind of agreed with us. They went along with it. They didn't see the heart. And he tells us now that he had worked himself up, the word they were concerned about him. And he said that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Now, the apostles had enough care and evaluation that they thought he was fine with the bag. Jesus knew he was not, though, but Jesus didn't change it. Jesus said he was a thief from the beginning, or the scripture does, and later he proves that. He is a thief from the very beginning. In other words, the only reason he carried the bag is he was sifting off the top of the bag somewhere or another when he could have. And now he cut out of his... See, his heart already, he cuts out things that he could have got. And he said, why are you wasting this money? Could have been sold something, you know, or give it to the poor. And the scripture, he didn't say that because he was concerned about the poor. He said that because he was a thief. That's a pretty strong language. And that's what he wants. And yet he's walking with Jesus Christ, yes. Yet God's son called him, yes. God's son chose him, yes. Ladies, I want to tell you something. It's a wonderful thing to know. Down through the years, God's always in control, even though it doesn't look like he's not. You know that? But Joe, I thought this past week in studying these things. It's a wonderful thing to me. When I see things happening, have you ever remember seeing a ball game that you loved your team was going to win, and then you had something to do, and you couldn't see the game, and you taped it, and you taped your game, and then you're going to see it later. And by the time you started home, you stopped at the gas station or maybe to get something, and gas something, and someone come out and said, you see the game today? And he said, no, I'll see it when I get home. And he said, let me tell you. So, well, don't tell me. I want to see it. It's already been played. I got it taped. Well, I just want to let you know your team won. Now, let me ask you something. What was the score? Why, it was 15 to 14. Man alive. And you go home and say, well, I know it's a win. Now, you cut that thing on. All of a sudden, it's 15 to nothing. And against your team. And you get down. Let's say you play baseball, bat, whatever it is. Say baseball. You get down. And you get down to the sixth inning. And it's 15 to nothing? Man alive, what would you do? I tell you what you do if you didn't know what was going to happen. You say, we've had it. I'm wasting my time looking at this thing now. It's not going to happen. But you know what's going to happen? You sat there looking at that thing, and I guarantee you. You say, well, let's see. It's 15 to nothing. Sixth inning. Seventh inning. It's 15 to nothing. Eighth inning. It's 15 to nothing. You say, there's no way in the world we're going to win this thing. But you don't say that. Why? You know what's happened. That last inning, they get 16 runs. Why? You know beforehand you're going to win because you know what's happening. That's what this book tells us. God is telling us we're going to win. In fact, we've already won. We just ain't got there yet to see it. What the world sees to us has to do with the physical, natural body. What God's going to do for us is spiritually. And that's one of the things we know. And that's what gives you this dying grace sometimes if you face things in life. To know, God, thank you so much. You've been real all this life to me. Now I know what's fine. I've read the end. I know there's going to be a rapture. The world talks about a rapture. The world talks about something bad going to happen. All they think about it in terms of natural, but we've seen the spiritual side of this thing. The God who runs this world is still there. You and I may be caught sometime, like many Christians have, like those in the Middle East and others who trust Christ, and have to give their life, but they've still won. Just because they took their head don't mean that they lost. So what's the amazing thing about this? So here we see what has happened. He's a thief. And then we see in John 13, verse 27, he said, and after the sop, here he's in the upper room. And he gives the sop. They're asking. He tells them what's going to happen in 18 of chapter 13. He said, I speak not of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heels against me. The other place he said his hands. And he goes on. And so in verse 21, he said, furthermore, I send you that one of you shall betray me. Can you imagine what went through their hearts? 3.5 years together, sitting around the Passover. Wondering when son's going to really do what he's going to. He's the Messiah. He's the one going to set up on the kingdom of heaven. They've been preaching that for 3.5. Don't you know? All of a sudden, folks, listen. You want to see a sadness in the hearts of 12 men who have been with Christ all that time. And even though Judas is out of it now, because this time you see what happened, those 12 men still cannot understand. They've been preaching 3.5 years, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. That means it's coming right now. But it didn't come right now. You say, well, he lied. No, he didn't. Because in the spiritual world, there is no time. And it is at hand. God is making a city for us called the New Jerusalem. He's brought it finished, I'm sure. I don't think I have to do any touch-ups. It's so close. And I really believe that when we see that city, we're going to be amazed. And the fact is, it's there. Even though you can't see it with your physical eyes. And so here, all of a sudden, he said, and Jesus answered, he said, it's to whom I shall give a sop. Verse 26, and I dipped it in. And when he has dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. We know who it is again. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. When then said Jesus to them, that thou doest do quickly. Now, let me tell you something. He could not have entered in another one of those disciples. They were believers. And we have an advantage even today. Because when you and I get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in us. And I'm going to tell you, whether you realize it or not, greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. So he doesn't have the trouble. He don't have the power to do what he makes us sometimes thinks he does. Because we're in circumstances. And when our eyes get in circumstances, and we only see that which has to do with circumstances, we feel defeated a lot in life. But when a lot of times happen, we get in circumstances. Certainly God begins to tap into us, his word that's hid in our heart, to raise our eyes from circumstances into a spiritual seeing. And it's like God takes a veil of flesh and lets us through the scriptures go through that veil of flesh and look and watch on the other side, and suddenly we'll lift it up. Because grace is given to us to sustain us. And so here now in chapter 13, look with me, Will, 27. And then 29, he said, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto them, him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Judas Iscariot is no doubt the most notorious disciple of the 12. He's a hypocrite. He's full of hypocrisy. And yet he could deceive 11 other men living with him day and night. But he couldn't deceive Christ. That tells me, I draw a circle, that tells me, I may be able to deceive a lot of people, but I can't deceive God. So why should I waste my time trying to deceive other people? It don't do one bit of good when God sees everything. And God has given us something in His Word to help us grow in grace and knowledge of the truth so that we can move forward. Because I tell you, when we put on the hypocritical cloth, you and I are not doing nothing for God then. It might, others may think, boy, they are, but not with God. That's taken off, and when that's taken off, then God sees us where He can really use us for His glory. And I thank God for that as I look at this. His name appears at least in every list of disciples in Acts. And where it does not appear at all sometimes, like in Acts one time, it's not he's listed, but he's not appeared at all at that. The Word of God reminds us that he is a traitor. That he is a betrayer. He betrayed Jesus Christ to his death every time that is mentioned in the Bible. Now listen, Judas was exposed to the same teaching. You hear me now, folks? Listen to this. And you understand, if Judas could be with Christ 3.5 years and be exposed to the same teaching, the same miracles, even involved in the same ministries as the other disciples were, yet he was a failure as a disciple, then anybody else can do the same thing. Because you and I have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit living in us, but we can't see Him. He could see Jesus. He ought to know what He saw in Jesus Christ and the very power He had to do things that God gave them to do. Oh, no, this is supernatural stuff here. I better listen to what He has to say. But he won't do what Judas thought he should do. Judas spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died lost because he never came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this is hard for us to understand. But he never in that time came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Folks, if they can do that at the foot of Christ, they can do it sitting in a pew. I'm just honest. That's the reason Paul said, be sure, don't be a reprobate. Check yourself. Be sure, examine yourself and see whether the Lord be there or not. And so I see this caused him to become spiritual hard. Caused him to be callous and caused him to be a hateful type person making money of Jesus' death rather than being the service that he acted like he was. Judas is warning about the dangers of wasted opportunities, which can develop a hardness in our heart and a wicked lust in this life and a careless spiritual atmosphere in life. That's where he was. Jesus Christ's word is as powerful because it convicts. Many of those scribes and Pharisees, they get upset and want to kill him, get rid of him. It has power. His word is just as powerful when he spoke it as the Holy Spirit revealing this word to us, which is the Word of God. And Jesus Christ spoke what he saw. Jesus played his part very well. For no disciple ever knew that he was in the greatest hypocrite, or he was the greatest hypocrite of all time. He hid behind the camouflage of hypocrisy, and no one but Jesus Christ ever realized who he really was. Of course, God the Father did. And so, behind Judas's hypocrisy, he hid his plot to betray the Son of God into the hands of his enemies. I'm not even sure if he knew that's what he was going to do until the last moment. I know this, Satan inspired him, and Satan worked with him to do some things. But it seemed like there was a time Satan did not go in him. Satan waited, and it seemed like that upper room, something's going to happen here as he looks at that. And he said, now's the time. Passover, Jesus talking about dying. Now's the time. And I'm not going to leave it up to Judas. He'll mess it up. And so Satan enters into him. Now he's controlled. And this quick as he gets through what he's got to do, he leaves him, discards him. What does he do? Now his conscience the light of God shines is so bad that he don't even see fit to live. I've shed an inch of blood! And he kills himself. But that's getting ahead of time. Jesus is a clear reminder that the purpose of God always accomplishes what he determines to do. If you look in Isaiah with me in chapter 46, you'll find it. If I go a little fast for you, pick it up later. But in Isaiah chapter 46, if you look in verse 9, God said, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Back in verse 23 of chapter 45, he said, I have sworn by myself, the word is going out of my mouth in righteousness. And I would say that's all he could do, who is God. It shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And of course, in 46, he said, remember the former things. I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my course shall stand and I will do my pleasure. And I believe God will do that. What was his pleasure? To save you and I. Make a way that we couldn't save ourselves. So he would take us into his family. In Ephesians 1:11, Paul said, God's purpose is who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, I want you to see in the next few weeks this great pretender. I want you to let's look at his life. I don't think I've ever known anything to be studied as much that I've known to study in this to see him. Because these five P's, I want us to look. To know him, it's sometimes we take a little here and a little here and a little here and we can't connect the dots. To know him is a breakdown. I want to know his personality. I want to know his privileges. I want to know what his problem was. I want to know what his plan was, and then I'll see what his punishment is. And all of those start with P. And I say this to Judas Iscariot, the great pretender. And these five P's in Judas's pot will describe who he is in the next couple of weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, Judas' personality is amazing. Even his son he had been a son of Simon. I believe his mother and dad thought he was a good Christian or good Jewish boy. He might have even been made a profession of faith according to what he was hearing at that time. Judas is mentioned some 20 times in the gospel, and he's mentioned twice in the book of Acts, and he's mentioned that on two different occasions. And so we know that he was much active, but little is said, it's just a little bit what's said in this is who should betray him. I know Judas had a designation. His name, I'll give this to you, just give insight. His name, Judas, is the Greek rendered word of the Old Testament name Judah. Now, we know Judah was a good tribe. That's who Jesus came from, Judah. In his side, Mary and also David, sitting on David's throne. Jesus will one day. And so here, it's come from good stock. The name means Jehovah leads, or he who Jehovah praises. It's no doubt that Judah's parents probably had high hopes for his future due to their religious conviction. They might have said, when they said, this is Messiah, who knows? We know he's the Simon's, one of the men named Simon's son, and who knows when he heard he was with Jesus Christ, and he's the Messiah? Isn't this a wonderful thing? We got a boy that's with the Messiah. This is what we've been looking for 1,500 plus years. And he's here. Our son, Judas, is with Christ. When he called those 12 men to beat his circle around him, we have a son who's Judas. His personality looked like would be the right thing here at this time. But a personality don't mean a thing unless it's been changed by God. And that's what we're seeing in these things you see at this time. And ladies and gentlemen, I thought about this, yet having Christian parents cannot guarantee the salvation of a soul. And that breaks your heart sometimes if you have loved ones, especially children, not saved. You do everything you can to try to get them to the Lord. And whatever reason, maybe a partial heart like Judas or what, they disbelieve, don't work, get the wrong crowd. The world can destroy what little bit of information they have about the Lord and God's work. And in our day, it's worse than ever because the majority of the world don't believe in the God we believe in anyhow. And we're seeing things take place. But you know what? I leave with this thought. the destination that God wants for us, that he's prepared for us. He said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. Watch what he says. There must be a life-changing, soul-saving encounter. There must be a conscious turning from sin to the Lord Jesus Christ and embracing the gospel by faith. And when we do, God says, thou shalt be saved. How does he say it? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Stand to your feet, please. My Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this series. I believe we're going to see some things. And Lord, you give us this. Sometimes we miss it because it's scattered. But when we can accumulate it together and make it revealed in a personality, Lord, we can see a lot of things about our own Christian life. Lord, without you, we're no better than Judas. And an amazing thing. Though his name is Judas, and though coming from Judah, this was a popular name in his day, but I don't know of any child, any mother or parent today that would name their child Judas. They might use some form of Jesus, but not Judas. And he has a stigma there. Dear God, I know this. You didn't force him, but you did use him. And we'll see that in this study. And even though it may have broke your heart to have him do what he did to your son and try to make a profit of him. And he shows us something about Judas we must not never forget. If there's a leadership to lead us away from you in any form or fashion before we're saved, when we hear the gospel of Christ, if he wins doing that and leads someone away from you, he could care less knowing that they're going to hell. He doesn't love those that he deceives, but you love those that you're trying to redeem, and you prove that. Father, I pray somehow or another these few next week's messages here on the radio and you stream will be something we'll see life in a way we've never seen it before. For those who are saved, rejoice in the fact that God works these things out. For those not saved, they need to know Jesus. For those that might be deceived, they don't want to be like Judas. Because the first thing is going to happen when they face something in calamity. Not be able to put things together. It happens so fast. In eternity, have to stand before the one that they refuse to believe. Dear Father, when we preach this book, it's not to hurt people. You didn't create a hell for your image anyhow. You created for the devil and his angels. Well, I know we live in an age today where hell is not really believed by a lot of folks, but you're still God. And our Father, I know when we talk about hell, they think we're a little bit off the wall. But Lord, if we know hell, then there'd be no reason for Jesus to come. In fact, he did come. There's a destiny that one doesn't want to go to without the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you have that, you don't have to go. Help us promote not just the kingdom of heaven, Lord, because that's when Christ was here. But we're preaching and promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That new kingdom that's going to meet on the other side in a new Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ, King of kings, will be sitting upon the throne. We ask that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.